Welcome to Being the Change Now. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment for today is attention on awareness in walking meditation. And we're recording and listening about what we see about attention on awareness, being happiness, being in the mind of meditation while walking. Here's our first call.
That's a lot going on.
All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
They're walking to unmute.
Well, it's interesting, Sherry. I'm not able to unmute anyone, so hang on. Okay, here's my first mutable caller. Here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. This is Bev.
Hey, Bev.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
happy to be here indeed, and I'm happy that you were able to be unmuted.
Well, me too. I am seeing, you know, I'm practicing awareness, and I'm watching, and I have seen how, especially like I love the movement this week, you know, just being very attentive as I move through my days. But what I'm noticing is that in the past, I would hear these stories, and I would get very afraid. I'd kind of live in a lot of fear and anxiety. And as I started questioning the stories, I don't live in fear and anxiety anymore. It's more like just irritation. You know, it's like the voices are there, and I'm just like, I'm so tired all day long of listening to these voices. But I feel like that is a step forward. It's like, I went from, because before when I was afraid and in anxiety, many times I would escape into patterns of behavior that didn't serve me well. And now I just feel annoyed and irritated. So is that a sign that I'm growing, that I'm you know, they don't scare me anymore. They just irritate me.
That's exactly right. Yes. Yes. And so it is a step, right? I don't want to categorize it or characterize it as forward, because it's kind of like when we're doing sitting meditation and we go through boredom and we go through pain and we go through wandering attention and we go through sleepiness, and they're all stages, or they're all experiences of, but it would be irresponsible to think of them as steps forward. You know, I've checked that one off, because they tend to cycle around.
Right. That's what I feel.
So now you've noticed that, and we could say this is just something to consider. So you realize that ego, karmic conditioning has been able to control you through stories of fear. And if then you become irritated with that system, we could say it still has you.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. So now attention is on being irritated rather than being afraid, but it's still on conditioning.
Right. That's exactly what I thought. I thought, well, yes, I'm not afraid anymore, but the story is the same, because the story will come in and say, well, you know, it tells me that. Well, what's the difference? What's the difference between fear? You're still not attending. So the voices use that. So I just figure that it's always going to use something, and that's just what it's using right now.
That's right. And the thing, Bev, the thing that we can be heartened by, of course, is that you're seeing it. So there's a very real way in which it's actually supporting you. Now, that is certainly not its intention, but it is, because you're seeing it for what it is. So now when you feel annoyed or irritated, you're attentive to it and you realize, oh, there it is. And now you're in the moment, right? You're present and you're aware of what's going on. So you're able to see all that from that larger awareness. Yeah.
Because it's not as scary and I'm not escaping anymore, I'm staying there. So I feel like it's easier to stay there with the annoying voices than it was, you know, so in that I'm getting stronger in seeing things. I'm getting stronger and transcending them instead of exactly what you're saying. I am getting stronger. My spiritual muscles are stronger. But
that's right. And the part that we're not talking about, but is also your experience and true, is that when you realize what's going on, you're redirecting your attention.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
There's never a time I don't know what's going on.
That's exactly
it. I always know what's going on.
Yeah.
So, and I figure with more practice, then I will not give in to the stories about whatever they're telling me is going on.
That's right. That's right. Uh-huh. It's like the television going on in the corner of the room with the person you're visiting in the hospital, right? It can either make you crazy or you can just realize, I don't need to attend to that.
Well, I love all the attention. So thanks to all we're doing. It's just so helpful to me. Thank you, Gosha.
Fabulous, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Go
bye-bye.
Happy. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bev. Sherry, the thing that struck me so much about that conversation is that we were looking at it. So when we see the voices, it's what Bev was saying, I can stay present and in the seeing rather than in being pulled into the identification. And then I can practice that expanded awareness of redirecting the attention and expanding the awareness back to awareness, which allows seeing to be my experience and everything that is seen, including the voices, not just the voices. That's what we mean by attention awareness, right?
That's right. That's right. Yes. They are, those voices are a small part of what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, when we get to that point, they always are. But
yes,
for a while, as you're indicating, it seems like that's our whole world because they're who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning. It's June.
Hey, June.
Hey. Well, that was a great conversation. I'm out, Kim Henning. I'm a little out of breath. But I've been looking at movement and looking at if I'm sitting really still and not actively moving muscles, the mind can feel a little quieter, can calm down a little bit when I get up and start doing something. The mind also revs up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the trick is not to make that a problem. The trick is just awareness. My moves faster. My moves faster. Interesting. Okay.
Yes. Well, and I think what you're pointing to, June, is why it's a gradient of difficulty, right? So sitting in meditation, there's the ability to retain attention on awareness is easier than if I'm moving. And that's what you're actually experiencing, that the mind tends to rev up, or perhaps that what we're actually seeing is the ability to stay attentive to awareness is not as available, perhaps, as when you're sitting. That's not a problem. There's a word that Cherry uses that's so appropriate, which is yet, right? So So yes. Perhaps as if we don't make it a problem and attempt to engage with it in that way, then we just practice having attention and awareness in walking and see how that experience is, and perhaps increase our ability to have the attention and awareness in movement.
Yes. That's a practice. Like all of our other practices are.
I think I'm losing you a little bit, June, but I think you said that's like all of our practices. We just take the practice on and keep practicing and see what our experience is.
Yes. Yeah. And again, there's no problem with the mind being active and jumping around. Unless I get inside with it and make it a problem.
That's right. In other words, it's egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate that says it is a problem. It's identifying itself as a problem. And unless you identify with it, you don't think it's a problem, right? That's an interesting way of phrasing it. Because the only thing that ever thinks anything is a problem is egocentric karmic or conditioned mind. So conditioned mind is saying conditioned mind is a problem, which is actually true. And so long as we don't identify with it, we can see that that's what it's doing, that the problem exists only if one identifies with it, and then it's somehow something that you are required to do something about. I think you said it's a trap.
Trap. Perfect.
Yes.
Trap.
Yeah. It's a karmic trap. Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, June. All right, here's our next caller, Sherry.
I got a comment on that, okay? Because that's so funny what you two are talking about. To realize the only thing that says it's a problem is the problem.
Yeah.
Right? that's one of those things that we're not really supposed to catch on to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But with June and with Bev, that's what we're getting to see, right? It says, oh, that's a problem. It doesn't say, oh, I'm a problem, because that would be too direct. But oh, that's a problem, says the problem. That's right.
And it wants us to say I'm the problem, because that I is what I identify with, but I is part of conditioned mind. That's what we're getting to disidentify from. That I. Yeah.
That I. That one. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jamie.
Hey, Jamie.
When I'm meditating in other times, we've been talking about this, but I'm aware of that difference between awareness and wanting to be aware, and how when I can want to be here now, but then I start thinking, well, I'm not here now in the right way. I want to be enlightened or have more awareness. So I can subtly create a difference there, whereas we're talking about eliminating that.
That's it.
Just
that's it, Jamie. Yeah. That's the one. You're right here. And then the conversation starts up. And what I project you're seeing is there's always been a conversation, right?
Right.
It's always been talking to you about what's wrong with you.
Correct.
Now because what you're doing is awareness practice, it's going to talk to you about what you're doing wrong about awareness practice.
Exactly.
Same scam. Perfect trap.
Yeah, and it can be So you have to just get, I guess it's getting back to that place which I can get to when I meditate, and other, you know, when I'm looking at nature, or I get more of a sense of just being here present. But then the ego wants to come in and say, well, you're not present in the right way.
That's right. But here's what you've got going for you, Jamie. Here's what you've got going. You're aware of that.
Exactly.
You're aware of it coming in. So it says you're not aware. You're not really aware. But you're aware that ego is saying that to you. So it's
right.
A nanner, nanner, nanner. Yes, I am. I'm aware of a voice saying that to me.
And
I am aware.
I think I'm going to write check, too, when I say, I'm going to keep doing this, and I'm going to keep working on it regardless of what you say.
That's right. That's right. And this is that place where as soon as we become that aware of what it's doing,
yeah,
we can just say something like, yeah, that, and just redirect attention to the breath. You know, feel your feet on the ground. Feel your shoulders relaxing. Just say, here, and really be aware of being. We don't actually have to engage with the voices. As soon as we catch on to what they're doing, we can just say, oh, yeah, that's scam. Okay, I'm
yeah.
here.
Yeah,
breathing, feet on the ground, relaxing, present.
Right, and they're only there, like you were saying a minute or so ago, that they create themselves. They're only there because it's only a problem because it's, the ego says it's a problem.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. And if we don't make it a problem, it's not a problem.
Right. Ego wants us to believe that it's a concrete, real problem that exists, whether
that's
we
right.
like it or not. But it's not.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
And we have the ultimate tool against it. We can ignore it.
Yeah. I like to be able to tell you what's going on so that I can find, that helps me realize that I am or I am not on the right track.
That's right. If that's why Sangha is so important, Jamie. If we don't have any place to talk about this except with ego, it's a long, hard slog. Yeah.
Yeah,
all
just
right.
the average
Thank
person
you,
on the street might not be ready to really engage in this kind of conversation.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and we're lucky we have each other.
Well,
all right.
Gosh,
thank you.
Gosh, Owen, go happy.
Go happy.
Bye.
Thanks, Jamie. And here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Ramita.
Hey, Ramita.
Hello, Ashwini. Practicing awareness in motion. It's been a long time since I've done walking meditation, and oh my gosh, there are so many thoughts about what it's supposed to look like and feel like. But when I settle into doing it, it's very, very, well, that sense of expansion.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an interesting process you're describing, right, Ramita, because anything that we're supposed to do, we're referencing old knowledge, right? That's what conditioned mind is, memory, making it up. That's how it's supposed to be. And then we're so trained to go, well, if that is my standard of reference, that's my fantasy of authority, then that is how it needs to be. And then I'm comparing my experience to that. Rather than, what you're doing is, If I haven't done walking meditation for a while, which is also an interesting reference, but then I go out and do it and have my own direct experience of what it feels like when I'm doing it now.
Yes, yes. And since we started the with the assignments again this year, I've been working with awareness sensing. And that, you know, these are not my sensations. These are awareness seeing. This is awareness feeling. And as I was walking outside yesterday, just doing some Kenyan on my patio, the shadow of leaves on the patio started fluttering in the breeze, and it was quite amazing, the sense of what I projected was excitement in the motion, but it was also felt in this body. And then bringing in the awareness sensing, it just was a really lovely moment.
Yeah, I just went right there, right? Well, I went there to my experience of what you're talking about, right, Romita, which is here I am in motion paying such close attention, and then awareness registers the motion of those leaves, and the registration of that motion is excitement. But that registration of excitement happens in me, right? Not the me of conditioned mind, but simply that awareness of excitement in motion. It's almost, it's a weird way of saying it, but it's such a level of interconnectedness, because there's that registration of motion. Leaves are happy, so am I. Leaves are excited, so am I. But the acknowledgement that it's happening here in awareness.
Yes.
Yeah. And yes. there's a projection, but it's a projection of excitement. And there's a totality of awareness around that.
Yes, yes. And it's just quite delightful, you know, that
yes.
you know, gratitude for this body, for awareness, you know, this tuning fork, this note of intelligence to pick up these signals that life is generating all the time. And without me having to identify as the one sensing,
yes,
it's boundless.
Yes. Yes, it's absolutely delightful. It's I project that's what you know Gandhi meant in when he said you know you see the divine in every person you meet. That is
yes.
there's such a level of non-separation that the excitement is projected everywhere in movement.
Yeah. And one other piece is, it's like as we do this assignment, well, all of these assignments, life has been much more, well, the guidance from life, I've been more receptive. I'm hearing it more clearly. And now that we're looking at awareness in motion, life is dropping in. You could be aware here. You could be aware here. And
yeah,
it was just, wow, yes, I can. Yes, I am.
Yeah, because I project what you're pointing to is the same thing that we were talking about at the beginning of the conversation, where conditioned mind says, okay, you could be practice attention awareness when you're sitting, and if you're walking, then it has to look this way. But that expanded awareness allows us to apply attention on awareness everywhere. And it's an expansion of awareness literally here and here and here and here and here.
Yeah, each one of these moments is another fresh opportunity.
Oh, wow. Yes. We feel the delight of being alive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Romita.
So you two remind me of my favorite haiku. I have become the thingness of everything I see.
Yeah. Well, it's my favorite too, Sherry.
Is it? Oh,
yeah.
Wow. It's lovely.
It is. I think we have time for one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Wow. Hi, this is Debbie from Minnesota.
Hey, Debbie. What you seeing?
I'm just going to shut the door. I have a service man in the house, and I don't want to feel extra self-conscious. So, what I'm seeing with walking meditation is that I appreciate having the extra external stimulus at this particular point, because there's content going on, and it feels like having that extra stimulation provides like the traction I need more than just being still for when it's noisier in there because there's more going on.
Yeah, well, if I'm where you are on this little path here, so if there's a lot going on in life and I'm still, it can feel like ego has better access to me because there's nothing else going on, right? And so if I don't have the ability to redirect my attention against kind of an escalation in ego attack, then it can be really difficult to stay still through it. But then I get up and say I go outside and there's nature and it's really beautiful. And attention goes to that, to the trees, to the birds, to the sky, to the whatever. And attention isn't available for that conversation about whatever ego's got going on the way it is when I'm just sitting there. Is that what you're describing?
Yeah, and I mean, I was in my yoga studio this morning, but it's all windows, so you can see the nature, or whatever I see, or whatever I'm feeling. But there are more moving, like body sensations. There's more happening. And mm-hmm. yeah, it kind of reminds me of when you give the guidance to when there's a lot going on or it's noisy in the mind, put an earbud in, just keep the earbud in all the time, put it in before you go to sleep. But it's like for me, particularly like the physical and the kinesthetic are my doorways in far more naturally than the words, because it feels like comes from a different place. The movement feels just more spontaneous naturally. So I like having the walking meditation right now, and
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Well, Debbie, I'm going to encourage you to consider that other possibility, that what's really going on when you're still is that there isn't the same ability to be, we could say, distracted, but it's a different use of the word distracted. So if I'm just
yes.
sitting there breathing, those voices are loud and they're after me. If I'm up and moving, they've got competition that they don't
That's
have
right.
when I'm just sitting there. Yeah, and the reason it's so important to get that is because there can be life circumstances in which we cannot move. And we have
right.
to be able to put paid to those voices under those circumstances as well, or they'll hurt us as much as they can. Yeah.
Right. Well, I think it's why Hatha Yoga is like the doorway for meditation, because it's just there's that extra loud volume with an intentional focus, an uplifting focus, you know, on purpose. And so mm-hmm. then it's easier to just go right in from there, and there's body sensations and all of that, and then go right into seated meditation
mm-hmm.
from
yeah.
in that space.
Yeah, and I get thrown out of the meditation club for even suggesting such a thing, but what you just said, when the voices are really after us, to put that one earbud in with a recording along the lines of, it's okay, just breathe,
mm.
it's fine, everything is fine, just breathe. Now, we wouldn't want to do that kind of thing forever, but as a transition, that can be really helpful. So maybe I'm going into a meeting that is, anxiety producing or whatever, and I'm sitting there waiting for the meeting to start, and the voices want to ramp up the anxiety and make me miserable, and I have that earbud in, just soothing the system, just bringing me back, reminding me to be here, be calm, just breathe.
There's one other noticing before I sign off, which is just that in doing the walking meditation, for me, it kind of bleeds out into life. Like, it makes me think, like, during the day, when things are happening, I drop something, or whatever. Like, I don't know why, but being engaged in a task that involves movement and external focus and internal focus just helps me then when I'm in a task, not in the yoga studio, not meditating. You know, it's a little easier for me to stay present with my reactions and what's happening and stay calmer.
Yes. Yeah. It's expanded, right? And Debbie, again, lest we think there's something wrong with us, people can't sit still for a second, right? I mean, try to be anywhere where music isn't blaring or people aren't talking or there's not, right? So, you know, somebody dies, the joke, you know, a moment of silence to remember, a moment, and all you hear is coughing and shuffling of feet, and, you know, people cannot be still. Why? Because of what ego does to us in stillness. So, yeah,
right.
A lot to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Very good.
Thank you, Sherry.
Gotcha.
Thank you, Esme.
You.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, Sherry, that brings us to the end of our first show on attention and awareness.
Our first kin-hinning.
Our first kin-hinning, and we look forward to talking to everyone else tomorrow.
Yeah. Sounds good. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, Ashwini.
Go happy.